So here's my offering of the story of Ruth in rhyme. In the days when the judges ruled Israel, there was famine throughout the land. The people who were chosen to be a light to the nations were suffering under God's hand. Instead of being faithful to the Lord their God, they had turned away from His ways. Now they were struggling because of their sin. Hardship filled all of their days. But out of the season of deprivation comes the beautiful story of Ruth. A story as thrilling as you will find. A tale of hope and truth. Our story begins with Elimelech from Bethlehem, an Ephrathite. He and his wife, Naomi, had never known things so tight. Then they heard there was food down in Moab, where dwelt the descendants of Lot. The thought was especially appealing when they looked at their empty pot. Their sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were hungry. The cupboard was bare. So they packed their belongings for Moab and began the long journey there. For a while, life seemed better in Moab, but trials then entered their lives. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died, and the sons married Moabite wives. A decade went by, and then trouble again. Now Mahlon and Chilion died. Naomi, the widow, was left in grief, with the Moabite wives at her side. Then she heard there was food back in Judah, that the Lord had come to their aid. She shared the news with her daughters-in-law, and plans to return were made. But when they set out, Naomi said to the women, "It is better you both return home. There is no hope for a husband and children if to Bethlehem with me you come." They kissed each other and wept aloud, and Orpah said farewell. But Ruth just clung to her mother-in-law, and then had this to tell, "Entreat me not to leave you, for by your side I will stay. Your people and your God will be mine, so best we be on our way." The journey was long and arduous, but finally to Bethlehem they came. Though Naomi was feeling so downcast, she wanted to change her name. "Best call me Bitter," she said to her friends, "for the Lord has afflicted me. I went away full, moved out of His will, and return empty, as you can see." But God was still in full control, a providential web He had spun. When Naomi and Ruth entered Bethlehem, the harvest had only begun. Ruth went to glean the leftovers in the fields of a wealthy man. Boaz was a man of high standing who belonged to Elimelech's clan. His reapers were told to look after Ruth, make sure she had plenty of grain. Naomi said, "He's related to us. You must go back there again. He is our kinsman redeemer. He has the right to Elimelech's land. We could become his possession under God's gracious hand." Ruth lay at the feet of Boaz. Romance was soon in the air. The man fell in love with the Moabitess and took her into his care. He gathered the elders of the town together, and the redemption agreement was done. He then married Ruth, the Moabitess, who his longing heart had won. The Lord enabled Ruth to conceive. She gave birth to a baby boy, placed the bundle in Naomi's arms, and her heart was filled with joy. The baby Obed became the father of Jesse, the father of David the king. From David's line the Christ was born, who did salvation bring. 1,000 years later in Bethlehem, our Savior had His birth. All the angels sang for joy as heaven came to earth. Both Jew and Gentile were redeemed when on the cross He died. He paid the debt and took our place when He was crucified. The book of Ruth has a powerful message. Today is irrelevant still, warning us all that it does not pay to move out of our Father's will. But even if our stubborn hearts don't listen, and we choose thus to depart, there's no place we can get away from our Father's loving heart. So heed the message of this book, and to the Father turn, and let the fire of His wonderful love way down in your heart burn. It's a long, hard road back to Bethlehem, the house of bread, when you've turned your back on Christ, the Christ child who grew up there and who proclaimed, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. The story of Naomi and Elimelech is an advanced picture of men and women and nations in relation to Bethlehem. As the agent Simeon said in the temple when he took the boy Jesus in his arms, this child is destined to cause the rise and fall of many. And he will be a sign spoken against. Luke chapter 2, verse 34. You pay a very high price when you turn your back on the child of Bethlehem. Nations rise and fall depending on their relationship with this child, the Christ of Bethlehem, the house of bread. The baby boy in the manger there is the bread of life. He is the Messiah. He and he alone is the Savior of the world. There is no other. Turn your back on Bethlehem, and like Naomi and Elimelech and their sons, you will pay dearly, my friend. Individuals do, nations do, history bears it out still to this very day. The Christ child is not only the fulfillment of prophecy. The Christ child of Bethlehem is the fulfillment of destiny. The destiny of every person, the destiny of every people group. Both national, individual, the Christ child of Bethlehem is the child of every person's destiny. He came to his own home, the world that he had made. He came to his own people, the Jewish race, and they rejected him. John 1:11. Instead of recognition, there was repudiation and rejection and crucifixion. They cried out, His blood be upon us and upon our children. What a price the Jews have paid for handing over their Messiah, unknown to them at the time, to be crucified by Romans on a cruel cross outside Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Scattered to the four winds for 2,000 years, despised and rejected, killed by the millions in Hitler's gas chambers in the Holocaust. It's going to be a long, hard road back to Bethlehem for the children of Israel. But one day soon they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him. And then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, will find its final fulfillment. And in great numbers they will turn to the Christ child of Bethlehem, whom they have rejected. But it'll be a long, hard road back. Had Britain become Great Britain, so-called, many years ago, mistress of the most far-flung empire in the world, Queen Victoria held up a Bible and said, this book is the secret of England's greatness. It was Britain's godliness, not her military power, that frustrated Napoleon. On August the 15th of 1804, his great army was poised for the descent upon England. All they needed was a favorable wind to take them across the Channel and place the Imperial Eagle on the Tower of London. But you see, God is on the throne, and the wind never came. And Britain survived. That very year that Napoleon was going to descend upon England and decimate England, the British and Foreign Bible Society was founded in London, and it has sent the Word of God to multitudes around the world. A year later, Napoleon vowed to put an end to the destinies of England. Just before the Battle of Trafalgar, British Admiral Nelson was found praying. Napoleon died a British prisoner. For a while the empire flourished, but look at Britain today. A nation in confusion and far away from the Christ of Bethlehem. Islam advances, Christianity wanes. It'll be a long, hard road back to Bethlehem if England ever takes it. Her influence has dwindled, her empire has shrunk, and today it is a nation divided. There now the babe of Bethlehem is often blamed for putting religion into the festive season. And well may the United States reflect upon its history. 4 centuries ago, the Pilgrim Fathers emigrated to North America with prayer, with an open Bible, with the gospel of Christ, the Christ of Bethlehem. They weren't perfect, but they had the gospel. And they became the greatest nation in the world. Contrast that with the Spanish priests who took the dogmas of the Roman Church to South America. It has never become great. But God have mercy on the United States. The society at large and the secular liberal lawmakers have rejected the Bible and prayer and the God of the Bible and the Christ child of Bethlehem. The Christianity of the Pilgrim Fathers is no longer politically correct. It is an embarrassment to them. It'll be a long, hard road back to Bethlehem if the United States ever decides to take it. And God have mercy upon Europe and upon the Middle East for departing from the Christ of Bethlehem. Some of you may remember even when the word God was taken from all the government documents of France. Then came the German Nazi attack in 1940. The Roman Catholic publication Universe of June 21 said, and I quote, "The great church of the Madeleine was packed all day, packed to the doors, and continually the cry went up, 'Our Lady of Lourdes, save France! Saint Genevieve, save France! Joan of Arc, save France!' The prayers were to the wrong persons. There's only one Savior at God's right hand, as we've been reminded this evening already. His name is Jesus. The Apostle Peter could have told them that if only they'd been willing to listen to him. France fell today, like so many nations, like so many European nations. She's a long way away from Bethlehem and the Savior that was born there. It'll be a very hard road back if she ever takes it. It'll take a brand new reformer like John Calvin, in fact probably a tribe of them. Macron has more problems than he can handle. And God have mercy on South Africa and the land of my birth and boyhood, Zimbabwe. It's going to be a long, hard road back to Bethlehem. It's not politically correct to take that road and all that Bethlehem stands for. You see, this is the whole point, beloved. Bethlehem stands for the sanctity of human life. Bethlehem stands for the sanctity of pregnancy and of birth. Bethlehem stands for the sanctity of marriage. Bethlehem stands for the dignity of humanity and the sanctity of all life. Bethlehem stands for no abortion. Thank God Jesus was not aborted, murdered in the womb because his mother wasn't yet legally married and his father wanted to get it done because of the embarrassment, as millions do today. Bethlehem stands for the unashamed praise of Almighty God. I mean, just listen to Mary's magnificent Magnificat. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones. He's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things. He's sent the rich empty away. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abram and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. Bethlehem stands for the unashamed praise of Almighty God, the God who brings down rulers from their thrones, but lifts up the humble, the God who fills the hungry with good things, sends the rich empty away, who performs mighty deeds with His arm, who scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and holy is His name. Bethlehem stands for all that is unholy, all that is grieving to God, all that God cannot stand, because He is holy, and Bethlehem stands for the thrice holy God. Bethlehem stands for the God of faithfulness, the God who desires faithfulness between a husband and a wife, the God who desires faithfulness from His followers. Bethlehem stands for the sanctity of the family. Bethlehem stands for purity of heart and mind and motive. And Bethlehem stands for salvation through the redeeming grace of Jesus, God's one and only Son. Bethlehem, still today, cries out, Emmanuel, God is with us. And because it is God who has come in Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, this child of Bethlehem comes to bring salvation to the world. Bethlehem is where the sky fills with angels and heaven is saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Bethlehem is where wise men seek God and worship Him, this baby in the feeding trough. Bethlehem is the place where people are lavish in the way in which they bring their gifts. As we were reminded last Sunday evening, so eloquently and so powerfully, gifts of gold in recognition that He from all eternity is King, therefore He is the one and only who is born King, and He deserves the best that we can bring. And gifts of incense, because He is the priest of God, and gifts of myrrh, because He is the one who was embalmed and placed in the tomb, having paid the price of our salvation on the cross. Bethlehem is the place from which wise men go out from their encounter with Jesus and spread the word everywhere. It's where people return to their world again, praising God for all the things they've heard and seen, the New Testament says. Bethlehem is where Jesus is born King and Lord of all life. And my friend, if you strayed far away from that place, I would implore you this evening to return to the Christ of Bethlehem. Because the further you stray away from Him in willful self-serving, the harder it will be to get back. Ask me. I know. I've watched it for over 50 years. I see it all the time. If you stray away from the Christ of Bethlehem, the longer you stray, the harder you'll find it to get back. Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty Shaddai has made my life really bitter. I went away from the fullness of Bethlehem, and look at me now. I return empty, she said. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me for turning my back on Bethlehem, the house of bread. Shaddai has brought misfortune upon me. Ah, yes, that's the bad news. But look at the good news. Look at God's timing. There's a but at the end of the story. But the barley harvest was just beginning. Hallelujah. God's timing is always perfect. Bethlehem is the place of God's favor. Bethlehem is the place of God's provision. There Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, takes Ruth, the Moabitess, as his bride. What a picture of the Gentile church. What a picture of redemption coming graciously to both Gentile and Jew through the Christ of Bethlehem. As Peter reminds us, we who are not a people have become the people of God, the bride of Christ, along with his believing remnant of Israel. Obed is born to Boaz and Ruth, and given as a son to Naomi. He grows up to father Jesse. Jesse becomes the father of David, Israel's favorite king. From the house of David, Jesus is born in Bethlehem as the Savior of the world. The Christ of Bethlehem is destined for the cross of Jerusalem, but from his death and from the cross and from his resurrection from the dead, there comes the new Jerusalem, the company of all the redeemed of earth, the glorious bride of the babe of Bethlehem. Oh, beloved, we have to ask, who's the prodigal around here? Me and my sin departing from Beit Lechem, or the Christ who goes into the far country to die for my sins and to bring me back? No wonder Tim Keller refers to him as the prodigal God. Jesus, the scapegoat from Bethlehem. Jesus, the Lamb of God that the shepherds of Bethlehem and the angels of heaven worshipped and adored. It was a long, hard road for the wise men. It was a long, hard road for Naomi. It was a much longer, harder road for Jesus. From heaven to Bethlehem, to give you the bread of eternal life. An even longer, harder road to Calvary. Not even God a greater gift could give, not heaven itself a dearer boon impart. When Jesus came and died that I might live, God gave without reserve his very heart. From Bethlehem to Calvary with blood divine, he dies a death to bear a guilt all mine. The cross is planted where my sin in vileness lies, but its towering summit reaches beyond the skies. Hallelujah. It's a long, hard road back to Bethlehem, and many have lost their way. War trumpets outsound the angel's song. The wise men have gone astray. But the face of the sky shows the star of morn, still pointing to where our Lord was born. It's a long, hard road back to Bethlehem. Yet there's hope when hearts are torn, and eyes look up to the Lamb of God, who for man's redemption was born. And the signs of the times seem growing clear, that the day of the world's rebirth draws near. Don't follow the Christ of Bethlehem at a distance. The further you go away from the babe in the manger, who is both Redeemer and King, the harder it will be to get back. You see it in individuals. You see it in nations. You would have to be blind not to see it. As the prophet Micah reminds us, writing 2,500 years ago, the prophet Micah had this to say, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. This is the Christ child of Bethlehem. The Apostle Paul, in his Philippian hymn, reminds us that though from all eternity he is truly God, yet he, as it were, emptied himself and became truly man. He took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, given him the name that is above every name, so that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess on the earth, under the earth, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, the Christ of Bethlehem, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The message of Christmas is the message of Bethlehem, the house of bread. This is Jesus who offers the bread of life. Turn your back on him, you will starve to death spiritually. Turn to him with all of your heart, and like Naomi and Ruth and multitudes ever since, you will never go hungry. Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, says, I am the bread of life. He who follows me will not hunger. He who follows me will never thirst again. It's a love that will not let us go if we'll only return with all our heart to what Bethlehem really stands for. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the eloquent, prophetic way in which the Old Testament speaks to us today. We've seen that this morning. We see it again this evening. We thank you that the Virgin was with child and his name is Emmanuel. And we praise you that he's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Lord, we would be blind to see that when individuals and even nations turn away from Bethlehem and all that it stands for, they reap dire consequences and they bring judgment upon themselves. And so we pray tonight for individuals in this congregation, in this city, in this nation, in this continent, and we pray, Father, for the nations of the world, that somehow, in your great grace and mercy and kindness, you would grant us spiritual awakening to individuals and to nations. Only you can do it, Lord, but you can do it, and we ask you to do it, to open the eyes of people's spiritual understanding, to open the eyes of the hearts of multitudes, to see the real meaning of Bethlehem, and to turn to this one who is the bread of life, so that feeding on him they will never hunger. We thank you now for this table representing the bread of life. We thank you for the body of Christ given for us on the cross, and we thank you for his blood shed for us. And you have told us that unless we eat the bread and drink of the blood of our Redeemer, appropriating all that Christ has accomplished for us, then we have no part in him. But we praise you that tonight we can come humbly around this table, and perhaps for many of us the last time in this particular year that we will gather around the Lord's table to break bread and to drink the fruit of the vine in his own appointed way. And so we ask that we may truly feed upon Christ by faith in our hearts. And may we go from this place with the song of the redeemed upon our lips. in Jesus' name. Amen.